Atlanta. We know what's going on. It's Dukes and Bell on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We start off every day and every hour by saying,
hey, man.
We hope you had a good weekend. It was not a good weekend for Atlanta Falcons. It was a great weekend for the Georgia Bulldogs. And we will dive deep into all of that here along the way. Mike, how was your weekend, man?
It's great, man. Played some G. Man, it's pretty funny. I'll tell you more. Guy talk. One of my good friends was having the worst golf round of his life. Sometimes it can be contagious.
Oh, everybody starts playing bad.
Yeah. You know, when it's just like, and this guy, English is not his first language, so I'll get into that later in the show. We'll learn some new Italian cuss words on Saturday. And then yesterday, you know, just a nice, you know, relaxing day of football. And then I got so aggravated. I literally had to turn it off and go for a walk. And I listened to Arch and Wes, who were more aggravated than you and I were. So it's just, this is, and we'll get into it, but I get the vibe. I get the temperature in the room around Atlanta. People that were on the fence are off the fence. People that were on the bandwagon are off the bandwagon. And I don't blame you. I don't blame you.
So that loss to the Denver Broncos was embarrassing. There's no other way to describe it. We can talk around it. You can tell me all the things that you think were good on Sunday. There was nothing good. There was nothing good yesterday. And now we have a two-game losing streak heading into a bye week, and we got out-physicaled, and they out-efforted us. Those are not good things heading into a bye week, and it's specifically thinking about the playoffs down the road. So, listen, I heard Caden Ellis after the game yesterday saying, this is going to fuel us, blah, 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 blah. And the reason why I say that is because now this is three games. This is a trend where we have started slow and then gotten outplayed. And I don't have the answers. Atlanta, I have no idea what the answers are. That is for Raheem Morris and his staff to figure out between now and next Sunday. And oh, by the way, the Chargers won last night, and they look like a juggernaut defensively as well. Second half adjustments got the Bengals back in that game. But the bottom line for us, Mike, is we have now gone 2 weeks in a row, and this is why I'm concerned, where our quarterback has not thrown a touchdown. He didn't throw one against the Saints, and he didn't throw one yesterday. And that is concerning, considering we've been saying all this year, we're here because of our quarterback. Well, guess what? We are here right now because of our quarterback. Mike, he is not performing at the level in which he needs to.
No, and I get it. That's a really robust pass rush. We talked about it all last week, and the offensive line was struggling, but they couldn't get the run game on track. It's just brutal. You need Cousins to be better. We thought, okay, Cousins will be growing pains because of him coming off the Achilles. We passed that. He's thrown for 500 yards. He's shown you the ability. That game down in Tampa, he showed you he's back. And then you get back to, this is why the folks out there, when we signed Kirk Cousins, the people, that, aside from the playoff record, would say, this is a guy who puts up meaningless stats. I'm not saying I agree. I still think he can redeem himself, certainly, because he's won us some games. But yeah, he's lost right now. The whole team is lost. D. Orlando Ledbetter from the AJC had an interesting point. Let me run this by you. 2 weeks now in a row, they've done this Wednesday, basically grab-ass practice.
Okay.
Where they're not, and again, I know you're not taking people to the ground or anything like that, but basically the idea of going through these walkthrough Wednesdays is, I don't know if that is it losing your edge, because I know people want to protect the older players and people with injuries. We're very banged up in the secondary, but I just something else to think about, and maybe Ron needs to change the approach.
It's something that needs to be discussed, Mike. I don't think anything's off the table, and as a matter of fact, I'm so concerned about where we are right now that it is time to hit the panic button. I am so concerned about this team, lack of physicality, being out-efforted, lack of execution, being beat in all three phases. It's not just one game, guys. And now I'm starting to say, okay,
right.
That nervous laugh when you meet somebody, you're like, oh, crap, they're here. We're going to be able to fix this, right? We're going to be able to turn this thing around and feel good about, you know, the next 4, 5, 6 weeks, right? Somebody tell me and give me a little bit of confidence.
All right. The good news is, there is no good news. The bad news is the Bucs can still leapfrog us despite us having won all, you know, now we've won everything but the Saints game. So we can still finish with just one loss in the division. But you guys, you look at the Bucs schedule. I'm just telling you, they've played one less game than us, and we both have to play the Chargers. And boy, the Chargers look like something. They got off like gangbusters in the first half, Carl, and hung on to win that game, and obviously, you know, beat the Bengals, and now the Bengals are exploring where the hell they're going. But we got to play the Chargers, they got to play the Chargers. But the rest of the Bucs schedule is easy. It's Vegas, it's the Saints, it's Carolina Giants. You know, we still have to go to play Commanders, Vikings, along with the Chargers. So, I mean, just telling you right now, I'm getting a really weird 2015 Dan Quinn feeling where where a certain radio host said, I'm starting to look ahead when we were 5-0.
It is time.
We went 6-1. We went 6-1. That is the panic button. We could very easily lose six in a row.
Oh, wait a minute.
Yes, we could.
Oh, come on.
We could lose four more in a row. We did it in 15.
No,
we did
no.
it actually. We did it three times under Dan Quinn. So I know it can be done by this team because Coach Ra and the defensive approach is identical to what Dan Quinn was doing.
By the way, gotta feel good. You should be a little nervous. 404-726-0929. By the way, how in the hell did we let Bo Nix get off like that? Now, don't get me wrong. I think we all underestimated how well he was going to play this season, and Sean Payton's done a hell of a job with him. This is why Sean Payton makes the money he makes. Sean Payton's still one of the best coaches in the NFL. We didn't like him when he was the Saints coach because he was the Saints coach, but he is still one of the best in the NFL. And Bo Nix has a career day against us, and now they're like, well, maybe he's the rookie of the year. Oh, hell!
Well, I'll tell you what. Bo Nix, the average Bo Nix pass was about 6 yards. It was yards after the catch. Our linebacker core couldn't catch anything. And I get it. We're down to third-string defensive backs. We still have Bates and Simmons, and I don't know how Jimmy Lake was using them. But, man, there were miles and miles of yards after the catch yesterday. And normally everybody else, you know, Geno Smith and certainly Baker Mayfield at times, Carr in one of those games, we saw that the defense couldn't get there and quarterbacks would pick us apart. The ball generally came out really quick. Slants, quick hits. And then eventually, Bo Nix had time to go down the field. And you saw that too. But Carl, nearly 200 yards after the catch in this game. We couldn't tackle for squat.
Yeah, that's terrible. Another thing that wasn't good yesterday. Hit us up on social media, guys. Mike Bell, ATL. I'm at Put 'Em Up. See Dukes in the radio show. It's Dukes and Bell, 929. Follow the radio station at 929 The Game and stay up on everything that's going on. 38-6. I'm embarrassed. That shouldn't have happened. Not like that. We should have played a much better game considering where we were coming off of the Saints' loss. So how do we get it together? I want you to hear Kirk Cousins saying that this team and the guys on this team need to have some real conversations during the bye week. This is Cousins.
Well, we have to have some conversations to talk about how we can be better. And, you know, those are conversations. The conversations are one thing, but actually resolving it and getting answers is the other thing. And so that's what we've got to do. And I think that's probably priority number one on the bye week.
Okay. What's that conversation sound like, Mike? What are we talking about? I mean, what are we really talking about?
How about do your effing jobs? You know what I mean? How about Matthew Judon, the great? I mean, this. I always thought the Ray Edwards signing was the biggest bust ever, and Matthew Judon is the biggest bust ever. Now, again, yes, technically we did get a sack yesterday. Big whoop. And that was by virtue of Denver screwing up in the backfield. We're terrible defensively. It's a bad defense. It's a bad defensive schematically. It's a bad defense as far as the players. You know, I think that we literally blew it. Now, again, injuries aside, we lost some guys we drafted this year. We'll never get to see what Braylon Trice looks like. It's hard to convince some fans, Carl, that Braylon Trice would have changed everything with our pass rush.
Because they didn't see him.
Right. But, I mean, we don't have a good defense. And we know that the offense, okay, you got to pick up the slack. The offense couldn't do anything. And once you're down, you know, 21-6, the running game goes out the window, so you can't use Bijan like you want to. Algier got banged up. So this is as bad as it gets. And Kirk Cousins has got to look in the mirror, too. You know, I have to be better. Not we. I have to be better. We love Kirk. We love his honesty. He needs to be honest with us and himself and the team. He's got to be better.
2 weeks in a row, no touchdowns for Kirk Cousins. That should never happen. Not at this point in his career. This hour is brought to you by the Man Cave Store. Up your Man Cave game this season at mancavestore.com. It's Dukes and Bell on a Falcon Monday. We do have a lot to get to, and we will discuss the Dogs ad nauseum because that was a huge win on Saturday. And I got to tell you, the way the game started, everybody was freaking out, and rightfully so.
Right.
We will talk about it and get into what this means for the Dogs. The College Football Playoff Committee meets tomorrow, and we will hear what the new rankings will look like. Before we get to all of that, Jesse Bates, and this is another concern. So I have a lot today, a lot of concerns. Why are we starting slow again? This isn't me. This is Jesse Bates saying, once again, we found ourselves starting slow.
I just think that we started out slow again. Whether that's us just giving up a touchdown on that first drive, giving them the momentum, and just never really calmed down like we usually do in the second half. It kind of got out of hand a little bit. But I feel like we can learn from this and go into our bye week, get healthy, and respond the right way these last 6 weeks, because I know what we have in that locker room. I know the type of leaders that we have on this team as well, and I know we'll respond.
You know, losing Mike Hughes was big, Carl, then D. Alford, then everybody else. And you're literally down to your third string corners. You know, and Richie Grant had to come in. You're really going up against it. And again, the ball was coming out quick. Sean Payton has owned our butts. We don't have to remind Falcon fans. And Bo Nix, I mean, I'm not going to crown him anything, but he made good decisions. Ball was coming out.
We made it easy for him.
We did. And then how about the second half? The three and out. You know, and then, like, I lost my mind over that incompletion call. Whatever chance you had went out the window there. But, Carl, you just got humiliated. Humiliated in the 4 o'clock window nationally, whoever those got to see it.
Coming up, we'll get to the Daily Download. We'll also let you hear what Coach had to say after the game. Player interview on the way as well. Stay there. It's a big Monday show. And, yes, we're in panic mode. It's Dukes and Bell. It is Dukes and Bell, Sports Radio 92.9. Hope you're having a great Monday. Coming up, we will hear from Coach Raheem Morris about what he thought happened yesterday. It was a debacle, and certainly I did not think anybody thought that we'd show up and play that way. Love to hear from you guys. Lots of texts coming in, lots of tweets coming in as well in regards to the Falcons and how you're feeling. Mike, you said before we get to the Daily Download that the people that may have been on the fence, you feel like they are jumping off.
Yeah, I mean, look, every year we start a season, and because of the nature of the franchise and the mistakes, the things, let me remind you guys, if you're a long-suffering Falcon fan, some of us, Carl, misery loves company, and losing builds character. But in 2024, a lot of people don't want to go through that. They want the baby without the labor pains. We thought we were going to be fast-tracking, certainly after that last win down in Tampa, to maybe one, maybe two playoff wins this year. And, yeah, people buying in, but there's always people that are skeptical because they've been burned so many times or they don't believe in – they don't think this thing is built right. They think it's fundamentally flawed. And I understand where you're coming from. And now you lose all that goodwill that we've worked up to get to where we were a few weeks ago is out the window. And you got fans that go, I knew it. I knew it. Friggin' Falcons. And you see it on social media, and we'll hear it on the phone calls today. And it's frustrating. But I don't blame some of these guys because it's like – it's Lucy and Charlie Brown with the football. The only difference between this and the last 3 years is we got a better quarterback.
Yeah. Yeah, it feels that way. And even the quarterback is struggling right now with again, trying to get the ball in the end zone. And that's not all on Kurt. He was sacked 3 times yesterday. It felt like he was pressured all day. But, yes, I agree with that assessment. To me, the fundamental thing is, and again, I can't put my finger on it. We asked Ra this a couple of weeks ago. Why are we starting slow? What is up with that? I mean, like, that just doesn't make sense. You can do that a week,
right?
Maybe even 2 weeks. Like, this is the third time that I can recall. And, again, this goes back to, you know, the Seattle game, right, where we started slow. Then we started slow with the Saints game. And now you go up to Denver and you start. And I'm not saying that. Jesse Bates said that. That's not me. So, like, I'm going, fellas, what's up? What's the deal? I do agree with Jesse that the leadership on this team is where it needs to be. I do think they will respond. But what does that mean? How many games are we going to truly win between now and the end of the season? Guys, I think we face 3 more teams that may be playoff bound or at least are over 500.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, when you start talking about other teams that are vying for playoff position, if the playoffs started today, we talked about it. Even with this loss, we'd still be playing the Vikings with a number 4 spot because we're going to win the division. We got one more division game. But even with that, this is not the kind of momentum you need heading anywhere right now. And I know the season is not over, but these losses and the way that they've happened, Mike, have been very frustrating.
And this gets us back to, you know, well, how do you fix it? You know, how do you fix this? Well, we weren't going to go mortgage more of our draft stock to go get another, you know, washed-up player or a player who's maybe 29 or 30 and, you know, is out there on a trade bait for a reason because he's not contributing as much as he should be for his existing team like Matthew Judon was with New England. So this is our roster. You know, the only way you can maybe get pressure to the quarterback is to blitz. Well, you really can't risk blitzing when your secondary's got all backups.
That's right.
So, I mean, some of this, I understand why you couldn't get to do what you wanted to do, but you're to your point. We've started slow now in a bunch of games, and then this defense kind of makes the adjustments. And then, look, he's never going to move on from Jimmy Lake. I had guys today saying, we got to fire Jimmy Lake. Their relationship goes back, you know, 20 years, okay? And I'm telling you, Coach Ross is not moving on from his DC. It's not going to happen midseason, and maybe in the offseason management will talk about it. But I have to agree with some of the listeners. I don't think Jimmy Lake's that good at what he does. You know, when he's making lemonade out of lemons the way the previous two defensive coordinators did.
Well, the two previous coordinators, well, specifically, you know, Dean Pease. Dean Pease is a 40-year guy in the NFL, coached one of the best teams in the Ravens in the early 2000s. That's a different animal.
Nielsen was actually pretty good.
No, he was. But to your point about Dean Pease is now working with the Ravens again as basically an analyst.
Mm-hmm.
He was supposed to retire when he left here, and he's like, oh, you guys need me. So he's helping their young defensive coordinator learn on the job. I don't disagree because the defense has not lived up to it as a whole. And this pass rush thing is beyond discussion. We're over that. Like, we can't even discuss that anymore because it is what it is. Guys, we're 11 weeks into the season. This is not going to get any better anytime soon.
No, and look, the idea of winning 9 or 10 games and getting greased in the first round. Now, again, I don't know what we'll do against Minnesota. We got to wait to see that game. Right now, we'd play Minnesota here because the Lions are running away with the division. So we get Minnesota here at Mercedes-Benz. And look, they've looked, you know, certainly beatable at times, but they're still that's an 8-2 team.
Well, we're going to see him. We're going to get a chance to see him. So, I mean, if you want to test those waters, we'll get an opportunity to do that. This hour is brought to you by the Man Cave Store. Up your Man Cave game this season at mancavestore.com. It's Dukes and Bell. We do have a lot to discuss today, and we certainly will discuss a lot about what went on in Athens with the Dogs. Big O is behind the glass. He's doing all the things today. Turtle is off. He'll have the night show, at least a bridge show, leading into the night before we get the Hawks at Sacramento tonight. Back-to-back for the Hawks, which we'll talk about as well. Big O, let's get to the Daily Download.
Story number one.
307 yards, 4 touchdowns, and an 85% completion rate. Those are the numbers for Bo Nix. 173 yards, a pick, and a 68% completion rate. Those are the numbers for Kirk Cousins. Big difference. And his head coach, Sean Payton, was talking about Bo Nix belonging.
He certainly settled in our third down red zone. I mean, there were a lot of things he did really well tonight. It's clear he belongs here.
Yeah. Mike, I have my doubts. I'll say this. I still think Jaden Daniels has the edge, but you can't deny what this kid is doing over the last 6 or 7 weeks.
No, man. He's looking better and better. And, like, Sean Payton is a really good offensive coach. I have to remind Falcon fans of that. And, you know, we win the coin toss, we defer. They take it right down the field, march it right down the field on us and score.
Boom.
We get it back. We got the ball at the 15 and then the 10-yard line, 2nd and 5 from the 10, and then whoops, then we go backwards. We had the Drake London penalty for illegal motion. Then we had another penalty. I mean, it just all hell breaks loose. And then you go backwards. And then as Kirk Cousins told us last week after the loss to the Saints, you can't be settling for field goal attempts. Now, the good news is Younghoe Koo made 2 long attempts. That's
Thank
good.
God.
But so we're hopefully out of the woods with that. But our only chance of putting 6 on the board happened in the first series. And then after that, it was all garbage.
It was garbage. I'll tell you what wasn't garbage is watching the Dogs' resiliency and how they were able to fight back and then take total control of this game on Saturday night.
Story number 2.
Dogs win, and they win big, guys. They are now 8-2, 6-2 in the SEC. Their SEC play, or at least their schedule part of the SEC, is over. Now they'll play UMass, they'll play Georgia Tech, and we'll see where the chips fall when it comes to the College Football Playoff Committee. But, Mike, they finally got the tight ends involved. And I think you've been talking about it. Randy Mack's been talking about it. And give credit where credit's due. Carson Beck has caught a lot of heat, especially on this show. Listen, we don't baby anybody.
Right.
And for Beck to stand up in that moment and play as well as he did, I thought it was a big step for him. Again, we keep talking about, is he going to build on it? He can't take another step back, Mike, after this performance on Saturday.
He was really good. Frazier was good. Held on to the rock. You know, Carson Beck was able to move, by the way. You know, that's the thing. You know, I've always talked about his ability to pick him up and put him down. He can do that, too. But he made great decisions. Now, he threw the ball a lot. I think 40, if I told you he was going to throw it 40 times, you'd have said, uh-oh.
It's a lot.
That's been playing some comeback. And that first drive for Tennessee, man, Tennessee's up 10-0, but Georgia doesn't flinch. They don't blink. And then Kirby and company make some adjustments. Certainly, you know, it's funny because we were all going back and forth and some of the texts, you know, between Oren and you and I and Chris was like, maybe Schumann's got some things to explain. And then Georgia tightened it up.
They did.
You know, and they responded. And then Tennessee, you saw them just kind of wilt after that last score.
Kirby talking about his secondary because they played a big part in shutting down Tennessee.
I was really proud of the secondary because you're in some really tough cover environments out there and like on space. And some of it, they helped us. I think they dropped some balls that were like bang, bang plays. But they didn't get behind us. And that's the big achievement.
I agree. They didn't give up any explosive plays. You know what else happened? Beck didn't throw any picks. It helps, doesn't it?
Right.
When you don't throw interceptions, you don't put your team in a bad spot. That's another reason why this performance was so good.
That's the best he's looked throwing the football. You know, at times, you know, other than, you know, when he wasn't throwing interceptions against Bama and the comeback against Bama, that's the best he's looked. He was, I mean, threading the needle to the tight ends. You know, you talked about it. Danny Cannell talked about it. I mean, he showed you why we thought he'd be a Heisman Trophy finalist to start the season in this game.
He was asked about the wide receivers dropping the ball and who freaked out after the first play. Perfect call. You know what? Everybody's right. worried about us throwing the ball down the field. Our receivers aren't catching the ball. Go ahead and let's take a shot. And I'll be damned. He drops a dime, a dot, right into the hands of Arian, and he drops it. Carson Beck was asked about those drops.
Yeah, I mean, it is what it is. It's part of the game. What can I do about that, right? They're going to continue to practice. I'm going to continue to have faith and confidence in them. I'm going to continue to throw the ball to them. I have to. You know what I'm saying? So, and they have so much talent. And I think as time goes, you know, and we start to really roll in this thing, like, I mean, they're going to make plays. They made plays tonight, you know? It's not always going to look perfect. They're not going to make every single play. And some of it is my fault on ball placement and stuff like that. But, nah, man, I have so much belief in them. And I really think that, you know, it's really about to start exploding for them.
That's team concept. That's buying in. That's not throwing your teammates under the bus. You know, but you're right, man. Arian Smith, that's why, you know, at the end of the day, you may get drafted in the NFL. You may not. I mean, you may be like a sixth or seventh rounder. Those are plays you've got to make. You got to help your quarterback out. Now, he did finish with 50 yards receiving, but the big story was Oscar Delp, who was highly recruited, highly touted, Lawson Lucky. Those guys, the tight ends making big plays, and again, more importantly, pay dirt in the end zone.
Yeah, dogs win. We're going to talk to our buddy Connor Riley coming up a little bit later on, 4 o'clock, get his thoughts on not only this game, but all the things that went down. And as far as Tennessee, and Mike, I said this to you on Friday, better coach. Kirby's a better coach, guys. Josh Heupel's really good. He's got Tennessee moving in the right direction. Kirby is a better coach. And then you go get into these moments, you better have a coach that's been there. It's why we believed in Saban all those years when he played in these big games. And you go, Saban doesn't lose these games. Neither is Kirby. When his team needs to respond, Mike, he steps up.
Right. And again, maybe if Iamaleava gets a little bit more consistent, gets better, because they don't blow a 10-point lead. It was 17-17 at halftime, but you felt the momentum had shifted. And then, you know, Georgia, you talked about it. The things that when it's clicking, this is what you need. But the first things first, you said it. If Carson Beck doesn't throw picks, you beat Alabama. You know, you're not worried about this. You are talking about playing in the SEC championship. Well, and there's no ifs, ands, or buts.
And you escaped the Texas game with those same turnovers.
Right.
I mean, that's the thing. What would the Texas score have been if those turnovers didn't happen? So that's how you have to look at this. If he continues to play that way, they're going to be in good shape. Hawks lose last night, and they were up. I know it was on the West Coast. It was Portland. And we were all football, you know, oriented. But the bottom line is they should have won this game. And they lose by 4, 114-110. This was the moment where Trey puts the Hawks up, Mike, and you go, oh, well, maybe they're going to win this game.
Story number 3.
Trey gets it into Onyeka. Back to Trey. He's going to break in and lay it up and in. So that's what they did. They took the 2-pointer.
That's our man, Steve Holman. Bang, out there on the West Coast in Portland. I watched the game this morning because I was just doing the fast-forward routine. Yeah. They blew a 10-point lead with about 7 to go in the third quarter. This is one of those games that you let slip away because you said it. Portland is no better, no worse than D.C., no worse than the Wiz. You got to win this game, man. So all the goodwill, first day of the road trip, you're in a great position. You look like you're in control in the first half, and you blew it.
Kings tonight, let's hear the last play because they did have a chance to win. They call a timeout. They get the ball in bounds to Trey. It's up to him to make the play, and I think they were trying to get Dyson Daniels on a back cut. They turn it over.
Trey has got it. Portland can't foul. Trey dribbles it across. Trey fakes. Goes underneath and it's stolen. And there's a foul. Well, that's the game. 1.3 left. So your final score from Portland, the Blazers 114 and the Hawks 110.
Tough loss.
It was. Kings tonight and then I think Wednesday, Mike, it is Golden State. So that's this West Coast road trip for the Hawks. All right. We're going to hear from Coach Raheem Morris when we come back. Listen, we believe a lot in what Coach tells us and what he says and how he's come about and certainly gotten guys to buy in. But they got to fix some things. We'll hear what he had to say after the game next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We're going to hear from Coach and Younghoe Koo in just a minute. It is Dukes and Bell, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. NFL Blitz is on the way in less than 15 minutes. Stay there. Chiefs finally lose. There were some great games yesterday. Ours was not great. And Marcus hits us up. And put him up, C. Dukes, Mike Bell, ATL. He says, reality is setting in with this team. They're just not as good as you guys say. And that's the facts. Well, time out. When you go back and look and you see how well we played, speaking of the Chiefs, against the Chiefs, speaking of the Eagles, against the Eagles. Now, you can't dismiss those games because yesterday was so ugly. The fact is, when we play at our best, we can play with and beat anybody. The problem is the game that you absolutely needed is the one that happened 2 weeks ago against the New Orleans Saints, who fired their coach and were banged up, and we went in there and blew it. That was the one we needed. This one wouldn't hurt as much, Mike, if we would have been able to win that game.
Yeah, it's a conference game. It sets you up for the division. There's no way the Bucs can catch you to win the division, basically. And that's right, that we blew it. The Saints game is awful for a number of reasons. Again, same thing that happened here. First half. Now, in this case, second half didn't matter. The defense couldn't tackle. So all the yards after the catch. In that game, they realized, maybe we'll put A.J. Terrell on Marquez Valdes-Scantling. So they figured that one out. I'm just very frustrated because, again, guys, we said this last week. We don't work for the Falcons. We have season tickets, okay? No one pays us to great grab pom-poms. We earnestly believe this team is good enough to do something. I felt to win at least one playoff game at home this year, maybe more. When you can score by virtue, Carl, of 500 yards passing one week and over nearly 300 yards rushing the next, that's the kind of versatility. But the only way this works is the 2016 business model. That year we had all these rookies and we were in a good defense. We were in the bottom of all the categories, just like this last year. But you got to be able to score points. If this offense can't score 4+ touchdowns, we're dead in the water with this defense. That's where Kirk Cousins and Zach, and one more factor, I don't want to rant. Kyle Pitts has 6 receptions, Carl, the last 3 games.
Not enough.
We were just talking about him being top 5 in all these categories. When he gets the ball in his hands, usually it's a big explosive play. How is he not a bigger part of this offense?
I don't know. Just when I thought things were turning, they're not. Matter of fact, we're still talking about the same things that we were talking about weeks ago. Mr. Height, CEO, says, fellas, why does Brock keep deferring when we win the toss? Well, guys, we're on the road. I'm going to explain this to you.
Right.
I'm not saying it's right, but this is the strategy. You want the ball to start the second half.
Everybody wants that.
The problem is it didn't help us. We went 3 and out, and boom, they went right back down and scored. Right. So all of a sudden now you're down 28 to whatever it was, 6 or 3. Yeah. It didn't help us, but that is the fundamental reason why you defer.
Yes, everybody wants – you're hoping to get that score and flip it. You get a score before the half, come right back. Unfortunately, we defer. They go right down the field. And then it's KD bar the door. The Broncos are off to the friggin' races, and you just said it. We go 3 and out to start the second half, and all the air comes out of the bag.
Yeah, that's the deal. I feel you. You're like, hey, why are we doing this? There is a strategy behind that, and that is not uncommon in the league. Want to hear from you guys. Hit us up, 404-726-0929. We will open up the phone lines a little bit later. I do want to hear your frustration, because I think we're all frustrated, and it's fine. Listen, we've had some highs, we've had some lows.
Right.
Right now, I'm hoping this is the lowest low. But to Mike's point, next week, the chart, we're going to buy this week.
Right.
The following Sunday is Chargers.
And the Chargers look pretty freaking good. You see what they did last now? Again, the Bengals battled back because the Bengals are really, they got heart and they got talent. They got stud receivers. T. Higgins back in the mix.
And a great quarterback.
And a dude with nice highlights. But then, of course, the Chargers do find a way to close it out. And everybody's talking about anybody? Jim Harbaugh.
Oh, imagine that.
Jim Harbaugh and the culture. Now, I did want Harbaugh here, so I'm not going to back off that. Nothing against Rob, but I'm just saying, Harbaugh, I don't know what the end game will be, but he gets things in order, and you're seeing it with the Chargers right now.
Mike, he's done that everywhere he's been. Everywhere he's been, he's done that. College level, we've seen it. Professional level, he gets it. You're absolutely right. But that is a tough game. That's going to be a tough situation. Hmm. Speaking of Coach Ra, let's hear what he had to say after the game with our own Dave Archer.
Raheem, clearly not the results you were looking for. Where did this one get sideways for you guys?
Self-inflicted wounds early. We got to go back and reflect on ourselves, get our stuff right first. We got to go back and get healthy. We got to go into this bye, do everything we can to come back and be as healthy as possibly so we can play our best football.
I know you're not looking for excuses, but you guys were really banged up going into this game. How much did that play into some of what was going on?
Doesn't matter. Nobody cares. You know, it's our job to go out there and play with the guys that we have, and those guys went out there and gave me everything they had. I got to do a better job coaching. We got to do a better job playing. We got to do a better job in the organization, period.
You knew it was going to be a tall task against this really good defense. What was it that they were doing that was trying to keep you guys off balance?
They stopped us from running, you know, and when they got a chance to stop us from running, they made us one-dimensional. They got a chance to rush the pass and do what they do best, and you got to get hats off to Vance, hats off to all those guys. Hats off to that team and what they did today. That was awesome.
Does this change your mindset of how you approach your off week, or does you just got to surge forward?
No, you know, it is. We trust our process. We got a really good process here at Atlanta. Our guys got a good process. Our coaches got a good process. We'll definitely reflect. We'll go back. We'll look at what we need to do better, and we'll get that thing done.
All right. Thanks for your time,
Thank
Coach.
You, man.
Appreciate it.
Yeah, I'm glad he said that. Mm-hmm. And not that, look, if anybody's going to reflect, it's going to be Raheem Morris. But I also think, you know, we as fans need to hear that. I need to coach better. We need to be better as an organization. We got our butts kicked. Thank you for completely being honest. That's what I need to hear as a fan. I don't want to hear, well, you know, we had some plays and we just didn't make the plays and blah, 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 blah. No, We got our butts kicked, and we didn't do a good enough job on any level, specifically from the head coach all the way down. Okay, so now what do we do to get it right? And I just think when I hear Kirk Cousins say we got to have some hard conversations, I'm wondering what those conversations entail. What are we talking about? Are we talking about some guys not playing? Some guys maybe sitting? Well, what are we talking about?
Well, I mean, the offensive line, you had to, you know, it's considered a pretty good run defense, a good run offensive line. Defensively, they get after us when we go backwards. We talked about Caleb McGarry and everything that you saw it, ever getting after everybody. And, you know, Bergeron was, we just talked about, you never hear Bergeron. Bergeron had a false start. You know, there was a holding penalty. It was obvious right where the hole, Bijan cuts it up, and that just killed the drive. So self-inflicted penalties. Execution. Now, again, I don't know where the routes are supposed to go. I don't know. I'm not still sold. I like Drake London as the Puka Nacua kind of player because Darnell Mooney. And by the way, Broncos were holding. They got away with a lot of defensive holding. The refs kind of set the tone. So you know what you're dealing with. But you can't complain about the refs, as we said, when you get smoked by 32 points. So getting back to your initial point, everything should be on the table. All the rookies, everybody should have a chance to be in the mix. You know, there's another dumb penalty. We had a special teams penalty, D'Angelo Malone, for pulling a guy off a pile.
That's right.
Just stupid, undisciplined crap that you can't do. So, coaching staff, I mean, Cousins has got to get better. Cousins has got to get the ball out quicker. And it's almost like when he goes, if they don't get open, man, he doesn't have the ability, Carl. Guys get so used to watching Sunday Night Football. Orrin and I were just talking about this before the show. You're watching around, and you see the quarterback, something breaks down. Okay, Mahomes moves around. Josh Allen moves around. You know, Herbert, everybody moves around. He doesn't have that ability. We got a pocket passer. So if the receivers don't get the separation, we're dead.
That we were. Three sacks yesterday. Offensive line didn't do any job. I was going to say didn't do a good job. They didn't do any job yesterday. The good news is, if you had to pick out one thing, was that Younghoe Koo hit his field goal.
He did.
And for all the complaining and worrying and stress that he brought upon us last week, the good news is Younghoe Koo did that. Let's hear from him after the game with Dave Archer.
Back here, Solomon Brothers player of the game, Younghoe Koo. And Younghoe, you know, obviously it was a lot of conversation. I know you went back to work, which you normally do. 41 and 51 today. How did it feel being out there?
It was good. You know, coming off a week like last week, it's always good to get back on the field. That's only cure, I guess, in a way that you can find. So it felt good to be back out there and, you know, kicking.
I know you guys put a ton of work in. You and Bradley spent a lot of time getting ready here each and every week, regardless of what the situation is the prior week. Tell me about this game. I mean, what was going on the bench? You guys trying to stay in this football game, but it just got sideways on you guys.
Yeah. You know, no matter the situation, I mean, we're just looking to see if we get in the red zone. And then, you know, for Bradley, if it's third down, we're just getting ready to do our job. Whether, you know, no matter the situation, right? So it's, all right, red zone, third down. It's like, all right, field goal up or three alert, whatever the case may be. And we just try to stay ready.
Yeah, you knew this was going to be a tough task. Young quarterback playing extremely well. And certainly this is a pretty good team on the defensive side of the football.
Yeah. I mean, you know, they did their part. They looked great out there. And then we just got to go back to work and, you know, get better.
All right. Well, you've been around this team and made big kicks and been a big part of this team winning football games. You just said part of the message there. Maybe that is the whole message. What do you do this bye week and then get ready for that following week with the Chargers?
Yeah. I mean, everybody, you know, do whatever they got to do to get healthy or get better or whatever the case may be, right? So we try to improve each week, no matter the situation. So take that approach and use this bye to really, you know, leap us forward and just take advantage of it.
Solomon Brothers player of the game, Younghoe Koo, 41 and 51 on kicks today. He was our scoring punch. We need a little bit more, but certainly Younghoe contributed what he needed to do. Thanks, bud.
Appreciate you.
Yeah, thank God. 41 and 51 for Younghoe Koo, and that's good.
I mean, and the 40 to 49, for some reason, became the trouble issue. He was 3 out of 6 going into the game from that range, and he made his 40-something yarder.
Yeah, 41. I was happy about that. But as the game started, and, you know, I wasn't on social media a whole lot yesterday. I wasn't feeling it. This game didn't feel like it was going to move in the direction for us, in favor of us, in any way, shape, or form. And when we kicked the first field goal, I said, we got to score touchdowns, guys. This defense, I told you all week how good they were statistically. Top 5 in every category. And guess what? They lived up to it. I mean, it's rare when you go, oh, you know, it's like the Dogs. Tennessee defense, they hadn't allowed 20 points all season. Well, up until Saturday. But this team lived up to it. And so you give them credit, Mike. We said they have not allowed teams to score more than 17 points. Fourth in the league. We scored 3 points yesterday, or 6 points yesterday total. I mean, come on. That's the frustrating part about this. So as we discuss, we'd love to hear from you guys. We're going to open up the phone lines, as we said, in the 3 o'clock hour and let you chime in a little bit. And here's the thing. I know there's a lot that you could get to. I just want to know one thing. What is the one thing that has you most frustrated? Not 8 things. What is the one thing that has you most frustrated? Mike, I think for you it's the defense.
Yeah, it's just a lack of pass rush. I mean, we got 1 sack yesterday because they basically tripped over their own lineman. And so we got 10. 10! You know, you were joking around about, can we get to like 30? Shoot, we'll be lucky we get to 20.
I was like 25. You were like, nope.
It's historically bad. There's things that you can look around. You know, Tampa Bay for years couldn't find a kicker. The Dolphins never had a run game from Marino. There's things that just go out and they happen. And they define the franchise. The Falcons are the worst pass rushing team in the history of the NFL, save for literally 5 or 6 years. Take Claude Humphrey out of the mix. We are arguably the worst pass rushing team in the history of pro football.
I saw a stat yesterday that in the history of the NFL, the modern NFL, there's only been 1 team that had less than 10 sacks before week 10 of the NFL season. It's the Falcons.
Yep. Years ago, we went through this last time. We were arguing about this. It was Dan Quinn was coach, and we added it up. And we are the historically, we are the worst team at sacking the quarterback. And at some point, it'll get addressed. You said a silver lining from yesterday? It's nice seeing Michael Penix drop some dimes, huh?
Oh, he does.
Penix comes in. Now, again, by this point, all the starters are out, but he puts balls right there in the receiver's hands.
Yeah, game's over, but, you know, he got some run and some tick, and bottom line is you're trying to protect Kirk Cousins. But, yeah, Mike, I mean, it was good to see. And hopefully that's a bright future for that young man. It's Dukes and Bale Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game. Let's address this pass rush thing real quick before we hit the top of the hour. Strip sack. We haven't drafted that dude.
Nope.
That's how you get them. You have to draft them. We are trying to get the secondary market, Mike, and go, you know, we're going to the flea market, right? Getting a discount rate on the guys that we've tried to bring in here. We thought, let's all be honest, we thought Vic Beasley might be that guy. After that Super Bowl run, you're like, man. And then we realized he didn't have any heart. I said it. We haven't drafted that guy. And until we do, Mike, this is just going to be what it is. And that is, you know what? We'll get some sacks. We'll apply some pressures. But we don't have a guy that can take the game over. You guys see the Steelers game yesterday? Woo! You see Steelers game yesterday?
That's the guy. Now, again, we've told the story. The listeners know. We fell in love with Tack McKinley. Thank Jeff Ulbrich. That's who D-Led says was the culprit. I thought it was Jamora, but it was him. We went with that guy. Tack McKinley over T.J. Watt, who's been transformative. Transformative player.
Just takes games over. We don't have it.
And again, look, either you know me, and I still go with this. Whatever this season becomes, whether we win or we lose, either you go with Kirk Cousins or you go with Penix. You don't do freaking both. And you go get and you spend. I know there were some guys that were already predisposed to certain locations, and certain guy like Danelle Hunter was going to go down to Houston. I get that, but you go spend the money on the edge rush, and you go get your rookie quarterback, or you spend. You know, let's be honest, a draft pick, and you try to trade down. I know moving parts, Carl. You can't find someone to trade down to, and you couldn't maybe get the Raiders to come up for somebody. But Jared Verse is having an impact. Jared Verse is surrounded by good players that they already drafted, but having an impact.
404-726-0929 coming up. 3 o'clock hour straight ahead, including the NFL Blitz. We'll go around the league. They finally lose their first game. And now it's time for us to acknowledge the other guy is in the MVP hunt. It's Dukes and Bell on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and Odyssey.com.